Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today's Tuesday, November 5th, 2013. My name is Sally Baptist, and thank you for tuning in to our weekly American Freedom Watch radio show with host Karen Schoen and John Estabrook, and, of course, my words of wisdom that I start every show with. The main thing this tonight that I wanted to kind of mention is next week, I'm hearing some background noise there. Next Monday is Veterans Day, and when I think of Veterans Day, I am thinking about, you know, what's going on with, if I was a veteran, my father was, and I know many veterans, but if I was a veteran, I'm sorry, what was that?
I said bless you. bless you and your father for being a veteran. Oh. This is very important.
Well, it is. And the question I have for the veterans is what you fought for, was that what, did you fight for Obamacare? Did you fight for Common Core? Excuse me. And did you fight for what appears to be the communist takeover of this country? Because the veterans, I'm very concerned. I don't think they're getting, I don't think this is what they were fighting for. So that's kind of my question there, and I'll hand that over to Karen and John.
Well, welcome, everyone. You're listening to American Freedom Watch Radio, and we are brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman, and on RedStateTalkRadio.com. Please join us on Tuesday evening from 8 to 10. On Red State Talk Radio on Wednesday and Sunday. Please join us. Please listen. Please share this information with your family and friends. Visit our website, agenda21today.com, karenschoen.com, canhandlepatriots.com, Save America Foundation, and votekarenschoen.com. John Estabrook is my co-host, and he is with us this evening. And how are you today, John?
Well, Karen, I am doing okay. I'm in the hospital.
I've been hospitalized
the last couple of days with a little lung condition, and but I'm feeling much better today. I'm glad I made the decision. I was offshore when I had been sick, went offshore, and then just got worse, so I decided to come in and see my family doctor and get to choose the hospital that I wanted to go to and all the things that private insurance allows me to do.
Well, you are a living example of why we do not need Obamacare. Because
absolutely.
No matter how they are spinning, and John, we all send our prayers and wish you the very best. And folks, this is quite a tribute that John is speaking to us from his hospital room. So, John,
well,
I am really honored that you feel that we are so important that you had to join us, and we are so happy that you have. But
yeah,
you know,
one of the things, Karen, laying here today, I got to watch the entire Senate committee questioning of, I can't think of the lady's name because she's really irrelevant to the subject at all, but she, I guess, was in charge of the building of the website and the handling of $400 million of our U.S. dollar, taxpayer dollars, to bring this monstrosity to life. But the one thing that I would like our listeners, and that's why I called, there's nothing more important than for us to start calling things by what they are. According to Supreme Court Justice Roberts, our Chief Justice, Obamacare is a tax. So each and every time you hear a senator, a congressman, a president, Kathleen Sebelius, or anyone, and they refer to it as the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, it must be followed with the Obamacare tax, the Affordable Care tax. Because it is a tax, it is going to be handled and run and manipulated and controlled by the Internal Revenue Service. And for now, for this president, who openly lied, and many speeches in advance of the passage of the law. And that's what I want folks to go back and go back and look at senators, Democratic congressmen, and our president. And when they were attempting to pass this, they assured us that if you like your insurance, you will be able to keep it. If you want to keep your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Those are words of guarantee. Because trust me, if in honesty, this president, this administration, these Democrats that passed this and rammed this down our throats would have been honest and said, look, there's no way once we implement this, you're going to keep your doctor. You'll get a new insurance policy. You'll be canceled. If they would have told the American people the truth, there's no Democrat or Republican that would have passed this monstrosity. So now the lie has been carried.
Hello?
I'll say it looks like something happened there.
Oh, okay. I thought it was us. Technical difficulties,
no,
folks. That happens every now and then. I hope John is still there. But John is absolutely right. And one of the things that we all have a problem with, and you know, Sally, I've been listening to the people. I've been listening to the commentators, and it's very interesting how some of them will just dance around the word, but they can't come out and say lie. They have to say misspoke or
right.
Uninformed or any of the other adjectives when the real word is lie. Folks, a lie is a lie. And one of the things that we have to start doing is stopping the political correctness that changes the name from a lie and bring it back to what it really is, a lie. We have uncovered a massive quantity of lies in Florida. Sally, are you surprised?
Oh,
absolutely. What
well,
a surprise. And,
and it looks like Neil has joined us here. Neil, let me know if you're ready to talk. Just hit the one button. I'll put you through. Yesterday I sent out an email calling it the Lemon Law, and this is so true about any of these lying, fraudulent politicians. I compared it to a used car salesman. If a used car salesman perpetrated this kind of fraud, then they would be arrested. Why is it, I mean, we have more protection from a crooked used car salesman than we do in our government. And it does look like John is back there. I've got John back on too. But I just think it's interesting. We need a lemon law for the politicians. So if they lie and they perpetrate a fraud, they get arrested.
I think we have to pursue impeachment. And I don't know why this, you know, this ought to be bringing a standstill to everything, because what's going to happen now with the, I guess, this smoke and mirrors policies of this administration and the Democrats and the Rhino Republicans is that they occupy us with fighting a battle. So now we know that we're fighting the lie of health care given to us by our president and the Democrats on Capitol Hill. So we know that we're fighting that. And all the while we're organizing to fight back and to push back, the president is sitting down and moving forward in hopes to pass before the end of the year immigration reform. So, I mean, if he passes the immigration reform given to us by Marco Rubio and the Republicans that are getting in line to do something about immigration reform, what is that going to look like? Is this the total destruction and dismantling of the American economy? You know, the healthcare is going to be a $2.3 trillion debacle. The way, especially the way it's being handled and moving forward. If you look at the people that are signing up on it now, who have been able to sign up on it, they are all older people, and they're going on to Medicaid. There's no young people that are going to come on and pay for this thing. And do you expect anyone? And if you look at the indoctrinated children that they're going to ask to participate in Obamacare and to pay for the older people in this society or face a fine, they're going to take the fine. They're not going to sign up for the crap.
And you know what else, John? This says to me what kind of risk is going to become older people and younger people when younger people say, I don't want to help the older people. That's what this is being set up to be. Why
exactly.
is it my responsibility to pay for
exactly.
you? And they're 100% right. I don't want
yeah.
them to pay for me. I
nope.
want to pay for me. This
yeah,
is,
but now, Karen, if you're in that mindset, why did you ever allow yourself to pay a single dollar of Social Security? Because that's the Ponzi scheme that Social Security is, and this is just broadening and deepening what they know is an $87 trillion deficit on Medicare. That's what they owe right now, unfunded liability, $87 trillion. And they don't
You're
talk
right.
about that. Social Security,
no.
what is it, $24 trillion, $25 trillion in Social Security? It's a Ponzi scheme. So all they're
Oops,
doing
sorry.
Is deepening the Ponzi scheme, and they're expecting these young people, because they won't voluntarily come in and hand over their money, so we'll create a tax and we'll force them. So now they, you know, that's when you're going to see the uprise of the young folks, and they should uprise. They should have been outraged. But these are the very young people that voted for Barack Obama, and that now they're fixing to get their reward.
That's a good way of putting it, and that's the other part of the issue. And folks, we're going through a lot of voting. And voting is going to become a prime issue, especially after today. What I am telling everybody is forget the R, forget the D, forget the L, forget everything. It's time that we vote for people. And
yep.
we stop playing the party game. The party rules. The party does not rule. The party is there putting rules and regulations in that are destructive. They are destructive rules. They are destructive things. And then we have a candidate who gets elected because of a party. Well, they lose their voice because when the party leadership says, vote that way, which is exactly what was done to pass Obamacare. People were coerced. People were threatened. People were bribed in order to vote for a law that we all know was horrible to begin with. Folks, vote for the candidate. Don't vote for the party. And I happen to be in agreement right now with Glenn Beck, who says defund the Republican Party.
Yep.
But I would go even one step further. Defund both of them.
Defund yes.
both parties. They don't deserve your money. They are doing nothing to help and support the people. They are there for their own interests, period. So if you want to vote for a candidate that you know, that you have vetted, that works with you, that you can safely send to Washington, to your state, that will vote for the people. And this is what America is about, and it is about time. I was just, I don't know if you had a chance, John, to pay attention to the race that's going on in Virginia.
Virginia.
I find
no,
it
I haven't.
Fascinating.
I haven't seen either.
I find it absolutely fascinating. Terry McAuliffe is the Democrat. He's running. He is an Obama boy. So he had all the big guns coming in over the past couple of months. Clinton
yeah.
showed up, and Obama showed up, and Biden showed up. They all showed up to talk about how wonderful Terry was. Okay, they're entitled. He's their candidate. The Republicans, Ken Cuccinelli, they seem to have lost their voice because they didn't support Ken. Why? Ken was one of the first AGs out there screaming that he was going to close down Obamacare in Virginia, and he's one of the first ones that brought this to the Supreme Court. So Republicans didn't support him the way Republicans should have. And then, to add insult to injury, up pops a libertarian candidate. I have no problem with libertarian candidates. As a matter of fact, I am a libertarian candidate because a true libertarian candidate believes in the Constitution and will follow the Constitution. But after careful investigation, it was discovered that this libertarian candidate was a shill. He was put there to dilute the vote from Ken Cuccinelli. What a surprise. You see firsthand what dirty politics is all about and how it's done. So,
yeah, and Karen, let me tell you something, and you have to look at the broader scope of every time that the Republicans have done this to a conservative candidate, because this is not the first time they've done this. And they took those very same actions here in Louisiana, and it was for our state attorney general's job. And one of the things that they did was they ran a third-party candidate that they knew would not do anything but dilute the votes from the conservatives. So when they dilute the conservative vote and then they hand the election to the Democrats, then they're going to come out, and you'll see the talking heads with the little chalkboard, Mr. Karl Rove, and the established Republicans that will get out and say, here you go, here's the failure of trying to elect a constitutional conservative. It'll never work. You've got to get off of these people, turn back from these. We need to go with moderates, and they're going to push the moderate scheme that is underway by those guys. And we absolutely have to defund the Republican Party, defund the Democrat Party, and fund American candidates, the Libertarian candidates are a viable option, and we need to have a third party. It's hard to convince people of that because of every time a third party has been proposed, and it always seems that's exactly how we elected Bill Clinton, and that's also how Woodrow Wilson was elected, and both times those progressive candidates have led the nation down a path to destruction. I don't know. Yeah. It's a hard choice, but. Right now, what we have is not working, not functional.
No, we certainly don't. But you know what would be the biggest kick? If Ken Cuccinelli won.
Wins.
Aside
there
from
you
all
go.
Of that.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
That is the voice of the conservative faction of our country. It's not just Republican conservatives. There are Democrats, blue dog Democrats, who now feel they have no voice either, and they recognize the fact of all of these lies. So let's take a look at the Virginia race, and let's keep that real close and hold on to it, and let's hope that Ken Cuccinelli pulls off something amazing for all of the conservatives, because this would be a total indication that everything everybody hears from the media is a lie.
There you go.
Speaking of lies, John, you will be very proud of the people in Florida, all of the agendas in Florida. We have now drafted a letter that we have sent to our Attorney General. It is on the front page of agenda21today.com. Please, everyone, pull down that letter and send a copy to your Attorney General. Just take out Pam Bondi, put in your Attorney General's name, use the same letter. You have our permission. This is a demand letter stating that the fraud in Florida surrounding man-made global warming must come to an end. Every policy, every program, every regulation, every permit, every fee, everything that is choking Floridians from working is part of man-made global warming. And this major hoax that this president has chosen through executive order, if you could believe it, to push the country down a green path, because he can only look forward. He can never look back, because if he looked back, he would find in Europe that people are starving, they are freezing, and they are making a decision as to whether or not they can pay for heat or pay for food. And that's where these green policies have led Europe. And America is right on the trail, especially with this executive order. John, we discovered that the Organize for America, paid for by our tax dollars and George Soros. Remember when Obama put that in place when he was just elected and he said he's going to open up an Organize for America? It's going to replace EGCORN. And guess what they did? But you know what they're doing? They are going around city by city, town by town, having meetings explaining to people how man-made global warming is the cause of all of our problems. It's man's fault. It is man's responsibility. And man is going to destroy the planet. John, it is absolute mind-blowing when you look at the map of Florida Neil, myself, and Roy did an article on regionalism, which is the next phase. So if Neil is on the line, I'd love her to join us because she took us right into the heart of regionalism. Article 4,
Hi.
Section 4 of our Constitution. Hi, Neil. Article 4, Section 4 of our Constitution guarantees to the states, by the way, the state means the people, the right to a Republican form of government. Republican form of government means the people vote. Regional councils are unelected bureaucrats that no one voted for, and all of a sudden they seem to have this amazing power that they can go to our counties and dictate to our local officials how they should act, how they should behave, and where the people should live. And they have an inordinate amount of money, a wide open checkbook, because it's our tax dollars. So be on the lookout for Organize for America. Go to their climate conventions and listen to what they are telling the people about man-made global warming, because, folks, it's not getting warmer. It is getting colder. And
yep.
We are recommending to everyone that you not only pay attention to the weather in your community, but go online when you can and pull up the weather in other parts of the world and see what's going on. See how the snow is insurmountable in Russia and the ice and cold that is happening in Europe, unreported in America. We had a conference call on Sunday, and we had a gentleman on the call from South Dakota. This was a horrifying story that no one has reported. Very minimal reporting. 10 feet of snow in one blizzard. Hundreds of thousands of animals were killed. Not only was it, it was very sad that the animals were killed, but take it a step further. What were these animals being groomed for? This was our food supply. These were the cattle that we eat. They are the food, the cattle that supply us milk, the goats, the sheep, the pigs, all of them dead. Who's hearing about this? What is that going to mean to our food supply if no one reports of it? And you know what he said, John? And Neil, he said that he called the local media to find out why they weren't reporting about this blizzard, and he said they were told not to. They
wow.
were told not to. Folks, we are going to be in a world of hurt if we don't stop funding the lies. And now it is a proven fact that our president is a liar. And I would
yeah.
call him a liar to his face.
Yep.
He is a liar.
Yep.
Now, that leads us to believe if he lied about Obamacare, you think he might have lied about something else?
Well, I mean, Karen, that is the progressive ideology. And when you look at the history of all of the isms, the socialism, fascism, communism, and how they take roots and how they grow inside of a society, they exercise on the same agenda that Muslims use, Muslim extremists, and they use their Quran, and that it's all right to lie, that lying is acceptable if you achieve your mission, if you accomplish your goal. And that's one of the things right now with this Obamacare lie, the fact that people are going to be canceled from their insurance policies when that was stated that would not happen, the fact that we will end up, if you can't keep your insurance policy, then will you be able to keep your doctor? And that's going to be something that's, another lie. But when these yes. lies were perpetrated, now you have the media, the MSNBC, CNN, and all of these talking heads, now Chris Matthews, talking about that it's possibly 5% of the population. Well, wait a while. No. What is that 5% equate to in numbers of citizens? Is it 15 million, 20 million Americans that are going to be treated with not equality? Because that's what we're talking about. If the president's lie is that, and it is a lie, And they debate that. I love it when I see people on Fox and on the talking head shows, and asking each other, do you think the president? No, I don't think he lied. I know he lied. He lied. He openly lied. He had this information. That's coming out. It's very clear. He had the information that once this thing was fully implemented, that people wouldn't be able to keep their policies. So he known, and has known about it. So to keep perpetrating the lie, now he's trying to backtrack, and they're trying to cover for him, and they're trying to make it sound like, well, it's okay if it's only 5% of the population, if it's only 15 or 20 million people that you do damage to, it's okay. Where is the equality? Where is equality, Mr. President?
What equality? Neil Rice is on the line, is on the show with us right now. Am I correct, Neil?
Yes, thank you, Karen, and good evening to everybody.
Good evening. Neil, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about what you have found out about regional councils and what they are doing to the state of Florida?
Oh, that's what made me do this article. And then I decided, well, I'm going to have to do articles on subjects because Agenda 21 is definitely regionalism, and there's so many parts of it, it would help people understand it better. But in the state of Florida, we have 11 regions that we are split up into, regional councils, and they all belong to the National Association of Regional Councils. And I found the map, their map, showing the state of Florida and all the sections of regions that we are under regionalism in. Many people have heard of the 750. Well, there's 8 or 9 others. I live in one I found out that I had no clue of. It's called our region tomorrow. And this particular region has 11 counties in it, and 2 of them are picked up across the Georgia state border. 2 of their counties are included into ours. So these are things that cross state lines.
This is very important, folks. Any of you take a look at your state, just Google a map and say regional map of Georgia, and the regions will come up. You can put in regional map of any state. You will find the regions. Now, those of us that understand communism understand why regional councils are formed. They used to be called Soviets, and they were the unelected bureaucrats that would go to the municipalities and tell the municipalities how to do business. And that was in the Soviet Union. And lo and behold, we now have them in America. We've actually had them since Nixon was around, because he's the one that divided America into the regions following the United Nations. But each state now has a series of unelected people that go to your local municipality and give orders to your local municipality, basically, of where they want the people to live. They don't go there and say, okay, Neil, you're going to have to move over there in that place. What they will do is create a rezoning map, and now using the EPA, they're going to be heavy duty into the water. But the one thing that Neil found that was really amazing were the greenways. So why don't you explain to everyone what greenways are? Because if they're in Florida, they're in other states as well.
Okay. That was my second project that I got into, in greenways, because this is all land acquisitions, permanent easements, and so forth. But greenways are sold to people with this false picture of environment, being able to get out and hike and bike and canoeing and spending enjoyable time with your family.
Yeah.
When the actual fact of it is, when I found the map of the entire state of Florida showing the greenways, they have in the state here 25.62 million acres of land. This land will eventually turn into land that is off limits.
So that's what I mean. Neil, because I'm listening and I'm keen that you guys have done the research and you've got the numbers and everything. You know, we have to go forward with this. But to give a concise understanding, because Karen, you mentioned it earlier, Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution, every citizen is guaranteed, every state is guaranteed a Republican form of government, representative government. Now, that is on every level, state, local, representative government. In your county, you have a representative council that you, the people, elect. What these regions do, and that's what you need to be clear about, what these regional administrators do is they supersede and take away the sovereignty that is granted to your council. Your council will have no say in these matters. Your council will be instructed without a representative voice. You are losing your representative voice, and you are losing the sovereignty of your county to these regionalisms. And these regional governments are being set up in every state, every single state. There's paths
right.
moving forward, and they're moving forward at a rapid pace.
Yeah, see, what they do to the Greenway, they work with all these regional councils, of course,
mm-hmm.
that are 11 of them here in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And if just like every other state, every regional council, they could go to their community that they're dealing with, and they take taxpayer county dollars
yep.
that they get paid to be a member of every single year. And
yeah, here's what they do too, Neil, and listen, folks. So you not only do they go to your county, but your county is given grants. These regional bodies will list your county as being acceptable, and they'll have a grant writer apply for a grant to this regional council, and they will give them permission to go into an unincorporated of your, area of your county outside of a city or anything, and let's put in a bikeway, let's put in a pathway, let's put in a walkway. Now
mm-hmm.
that becomes lost property to your county. It's gone forever. It belongs to the regional government because you took the grant.
And see, greenways also hook up to blueways.
Yep.
They hook up to all the conservation lands
yep.
in the state. They
yep.
hook up to the national parks, the preserves, the state parks, and it goes on and on.
Yeah, Ducks
all
Unlimited,
of a sudden,
all these waterfowl.
All
yeah, I'm watching it in Louisiana because Ducks Unlimited has been played like a fool. And they've had these large land grants given to Ducks Unlimited for duck habitat in Louisiana, where there hadn't been ducks in 20 years. But you know, in the forest. Well, now why would you want to do that? And it's ridiculous. But what has happened is now that land is lost. That landowner, that property owner, there's no way to go back and get it back. It is gone. Once it's in these regional councils' hands. Whether it's through a foundation, the Ford Foundation, or any foundation, however they can get their grips on it, whether they can get it through grants, it's lost. Your sovereignty is gone. Florida will be eaten up, and there will not be private. Private property is being destroyed by this. This is an action item for the loss of private property rights.
And see, another thing, too, John, is that these sustainable development planners that are in all these plans, whether it's a 2020, 2035,
yeah.
we're in a 2060. They
yeah.
work with all these greenways and everything with their strategies because they are the ones that are doing the rezoning and the planning and everything else.
Yes.
And they get a percentage of all these grants if they help obtain the grant. For your local community,
mm-hmm.
they
sure.
get a percentage of that grant.
Money. That's right. That is right. Funny. That's how they fund the grant writers. That's why you've got so many grant writers on every little city council. You know, your city council's got a grant writer. Your school board's got somebody writing for grants. Everybody's writing for grants. Well, that's not government. That's not representative government. That's taking money from a federal or a state agency that is going to mandate what the citizens can do and what the citizens can't do. That is not representative, free Republican form of government. That is a lie. That's why it has to stop. We have to. I don't know if we could put a lid on all of our local officials and maybe lock them in a chamber somewhere, because they're definitely committing treason and ignorance. You know, whether you do something, a treasonous act with ignorance, it doesn't matter. You know, when I go into the, I'm speeding 90 miles an hour, and I go into the judge and I say, "Judge, I really didn't think I was doing 90, and I really didn't realize that you had a speed limit, so I was just doing 90 because I want it." He's going to say, "Look, Mr. Estabrooks, ignorance is no excuse for the law." And that's the same thing with these local city councils and school boards and people that are giving up their rights, giving up your representative government and handing it over to administrators. They are committing acts of treason.
They sure are, and that's where we come in. Folks, just because you elect somebody into office doesn't mean you go to sleep after they get there. The idea is that they can't know everything. That's a given. Nobody can know everything. You are only as good as the people that you surround yourself with. And you should be the one that is working with your elected official. Send them information. Go visit them. Get them to get to know them. Get to know how they think. Let them know how you think. And start feeding them the information that will enable them to stop these regional councils. That has happened and is happening. I am so happy to say we are on a crash course, as we say, to eliminate the 750 plan in Florida. Well, two counties, Miami-Dade and Broward, they are off a cliff. They think that Miami is going to be overrun, and the only thing that's going to be good in Miami is if you have a boat, because the oceans are going to rise 4 to 20 feet, and this is the lies that they have been fed. But what we are saying is it is now time to stop funding these lies. If you know it's a lie in advance, then why on earth are we going to spend money on it? It's like driving on a road and you're following the road sign, and you come to the end of the road, you can make a right or a left, and one sign says cliff and the other one says road, and you take the sign that says cliff. Why would you want to do that? If we know in advance that these programs are failing just because the president made an executive order, does not mean that our legislative bodies have to follow. They don't have to follow. I remember when I was a kid, my mother would say to me, I would say, "Well, my friends are doing it." And she would say, "Well, Karen, if your friends were going to jump off the Empire State Building, would you do that too?" No, because you
and
have
I was
a brain.
Saying. Excuse me, I'm sorry, dear. I had to say yes. I had to say that yes, just for the fun of it. I'm not to interrupt you, but your guest has arrived.
Oh, we are in for a treat tonight, folks. I am so happy to have Dr. Preston Bailey with us. He's an amazing person, has done amazing work, and thank you so much for joining us this evening, Preston. Thank you, and please tell everyone your website so they know where to find you, because this is going to be an incredible conversation.
Yes, it's great to be on your show this evening, Karen. My website is spiritualwarfarecenter.com. That's spiritualwarfarecenter, C-E-N-T-E-R.com.
Well, Dr. Bailey has had an amazing life and an amazing career, and I met him through the Save America Foundation because of his work on one of my favorite groups of people to learn about, which is called the Illuminati. And why don't you tell everyone what you do so that they have an understanding of where we're going?
Yes, I actually just got back from New England from about a week there, counseling people that are in the Illuminati. They became Christians, and they are trying to come out of the Illuminati. So I actually counsel people in New World Order organizations in North America, a number in Canada and the United States, that are trying to get out of the Illuminati. They're highly programmed, and so not just anybody can is experienced and trained in helping them. So it requires certain skills and training. So that's what I do almost every day.
For our listeners who are new, Dr. Bailey, would you please explain who the Illuminati are?
Yes, the I just got back about 3 weeks ago from Denver, Colorado. Denver, Colorado will, with probably within a few years, will actually become the national headquarters for the Illuminati in the United States. And there at the airport, there is a numerous huge New World Order murals at the airport. They're giant. I took a number of pictures of them, and I just stood there for a few minutes. And in a few minutes, hundreds of people walked by. Only three people stopped and looked at them and were even aware that they were there. So most people don't know this, but the CIA, headquarters this last year moved from Virginia to Denver, Colorado.
We were told through our investigation that there is actually almost the size of the city below the Denver airport.
Yes, that is correct. There's 123, they're called DUMBS, D-U-M-B-S, that stands for Deep Underground Military Bases. So there's 123 of them in the United States. The largest deep underground military base in the world is there in Denver, Colorado. It's really more a city, and the city starts from deep underground under the Denver International Airport, and it goes 70 miles on a subway to Cheyenne Mountain, which is the headquarters for NORAD. NORAD watches the airways, and if there is any anti-ballistic missiles that come into our airways or any planes, they are aware of it immediately. So it is the largest one in the world. Now, this is interesting. And by the way, I spoke at many different places. One place I spoke, his good friend is a fellow pastor, and he's friends with the commander at that base. And he says, yes, it's the largest deep underground military base in the world. So it's not a conspiracy theory, it's a conspiracy fact. So with 123 military bases underground, deep underground, that means miles underground, they must be expecting something catastrophic on the earth real soon in the United States.
That's what I would believe. Now, what could be catastrophic that would happen that would force these people to go underground? But even more than that, folks, do you think you will be invited to join them?
I'm actually the commander of Cheyenne Mountain was actually asked that question by a journalist. And this was all on camera. And the journalist asked the commander, he said, I notice the doors here to this entrance of the space is very thick. He said, if there is a national emergency, he said, can the citizens in the surrounding Denver area, can we come here and will we be let in to be safe and have a place of food and safety? The commander said, no way. He says, we will do whatever's necessary to keep people out.
Think about that, everybody. Think about that. Really, really long and hard. And now think about the debt. And think about who's paying for all of this. Because you are not paying for your protection. You are paying for someone else's protection.
Yeah.
And to have built something like this, like you said, Dr. Bailey, they are expecting something. Now, the question is, what is it that they are expecting, and
yes,
what can we do about it?
That's exactly the right question. My wife is from the Ozarks of Missouri. In the Ozarks of Missouri, she was just recently there. In the Ozarks, about 20 miles north of Branson, Missouri, which most people are familiar with, there is the largest private home in America. It's over 76,000 square feet. It is made of modern, futuristic materials that can withstand a direct hit by a tornado. It is owned by the Huff family, who used to be in the CIA, and now he owns one of the big spy satellite companies in the United States. Well, anyway, he is one of the leaders in the Illuminati, and in this area is an underground city. Now, I used to be skeptical of this, but there is actually an underground city there in the Ozarks of Missouri. In this one entrance alone, it has three huge entrances that 18-wheeler tractor-trailer trucks can go through side by side. It's so big. It took over 10 years to build, but they're all finished now. There is even train tracks that go in these cities. They're in many locations, not only in the United States, but in the world. There are some large ones in Australia,
uh-huh.
In Canada, and there's
yep.
some in England. But the purpose of these is for people that is in the New World Order, when they expect it's really going to be World War III, a nuclear war. Just before nuclear war occurs, then everybody that's assigned in the New World Order will go, if they're in the military or the government, they go to these deep underground military bases. If they're family members of the 13 bloodlines of the Illuminati, they will go in these huge underground cities. Now, whenever I go somewhere and speak on it, I actually show the photographs of these underground cities. So it's just unbelievable. Now, the big question is, why have they built them? And the answer is, U.S. military and the New World Order organizations within the United States expect and have prepared for World War III, which is going to be a nuclear war. Now, what is extremely interesting is yesterday, this happened yesterday, and China announced the plans to strike U.S. cities with nuclear weapons from their new nuclear submarines. Now, what do you think of that?
I'm sitting here with my mouth open. This is not, it's not surprising, but it's hard to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's different when it's out there and you think about it and you're not really sure because it's not verified. And then all of a sudden you actually see it in writing, you see it in print, you see it on YouTube, you listen to their words, and you find, yes, it is 100% factual. So it becomes that bucket of cold water, you know, the thing that you pushed back behind door number two that you didn't want to open, and now all of a sudden door number two is wide open, staring you in the face. Because I've been screaming at our legislators to stop bringing foreign companies into America to create jobs, because they have no intention of doing that.
Yes,
that's their purpose.
That's exactly right. This is not a this is not just made up by some blogger. The government-run Chinese news media on November the 1st revealed Chinese plans for conducting nuclear strikes on cities in the United States. And the leading outlets in China actually covered it. The Chinese Central TV, the People's Daily, the Global Times, the PLA Daily, the China Youth Daily, and the Kuangmin Daily, which is all the major Chinese newspapers. And they talked about China's ability to strike the United States with their new strategic submarine nuclear force. China and Russia are allies. Now, what is very interesting is, because most Americans are oblivious to this, I'm going to just remind a few facts about Russia. At the end of World War II, the Nazi scientist in Nazi Germany, who were really leaders of the Third Reich, is what they were called, half of those Nazi scientists went to Russia, and half came to the United States under what is called Operation Paperclip. So there were 4,000, some say as many as 10,000, plus their families, came to the United States in Operation Paperclip, and they worked at different top secret United States military sites. I remember as a child in Huntsville, Alabama, where I lived, my father took two different math classes from Nazi mathematicians that came here. And as a child, we would drive by Wernher von Braun's house. He was a little bit strange. He hated to cut the grass, so we took out all of the grass in his front yard, filled it with concrete, and painted it green. Isn't that weird?
That's weird.
So the most dangerous man in Nazi Germany came to the United States, and within 13 years, he was the director of NASA. Now, isn't that unbelievable?
Oh, my gosh. No wonder why we have man-made global warming and all those NASA, quote, scientists, quote, who are pushing this ridiculous idea that man can control the weather. No wonder where all of this came from. This was originally a plan that Hitler used to drum up support with the farmers in Germany. So that stands to reason that this was basically the same program.
Yes, you're right. It was all planned. In fact, Maurice Strong was a frontman for the Illuminati. He worked in the scientific section of the United Nations. He actually created the term global warming. He just made it up. In fact, it was discovered that when the scientist did not come up with the data that he wanted it, he changed the data before he presented it to the United Nations. And it, so the myth of global warming started with a lie. And, of course, this week, scientists said the next 20 years we're going to be in for global cooling. So I guess Al Gore will have to change his tune now. but as far as the attacking of American cities, I want to remind people back when Hurricane Sandy hit the East Coast. At that same time, 200 miles off the East Coast was a Russian nuclear-powered submarine that stayed there. It was a Russian Sierra 2 class submarine. And then within the coast of Florida, for 2 to 3 weeks within U.S. territory waters in the Gulf of Mexico, an Akula-class Russian submarine for several weeks, undetected by the U.S. I was told that Illuminati scientists gave the Russians a new type of radar, like is in the movie Star Trek, that makes the nuclear submarine almost invisible. So, with all of our modern technology, we were not able to detect it. And then the day that, and all of this was just in the news, people just didn't notice it. The day that President Obama delivered his State of the Union address, and I think all of these times were significant, our U.S. military base is in the island of Guam, and that is a key place, jumping-off place, for all of Asia for the United States military. Well, this was confirmed that two Russian bombers, that is designed to be loaded with nuclear weapons kept circling Anderson Air Force Base on Guam. Now, why would Russia send out two Russian bombers to circle a key base on Guam when President Obama is delivering his State of the Union address? I think that he was trying to send a message that he's not scared of Obama. And, of course, this last year, because of foreign policy failures and this utter failure of Obamacare, we've become the laughing stock of the world. So our enemies are no longer scared of us. So finally, the Air Force got sick of these two Russian bombers, kept circling the island of Guam, so they sent up two F-15 fighter aircraft to try to deter them from going away. But this shows that Russia and China is no longer scared of the U.S. at all. Now,
hey, now, Karen, let's get our break in right here, if you don't mind, Press, if you've got a minute.
Sure.
Oh, yes. Thank you all. You are listening to American Freedom Watch Radio, and we are brought to you live on blogtalkradio.com, American Statesman, and on redstatetalkradio.com. Please join us. Please visit our website. When you go to agenda21today.com, if you go into the section that says solutions, you will find a presentation, a PowerPoint that was given to us by Dr. Bailey. Please view that PowerPoint. It is powerful, and we thank you for providing it to us, Dr. Bailey. Please continue. This is, I'm sitting here with my mouth open. I imagine that everybody else is too, because we hear stuff like this. But when it's verified, it is much worse than we can possibly imagine. And I would imagine that one of the reasons why they view us as a joke is because the president is a joke.
Yes, that's exactly correct. In fact, in Germany and many other countries, when they have parades every year, just like in Chicago, we have Macy's Day Parade with all of these floats and all of these balloons in the air. They will usually have a balloon of Obama made to look like a clown. And for some reason, the evening news adjusts. Blocks all of these things that's happening around the world from Americans. But you can look it up. You can see these hilarious-looking balloons of Obama in many countries in Europe. So he is really just a laughing stock to the rest of the world. So he went around on his apology tour around the world. He's sending billions of dollars to Muslim countries. But now they are overtly taunting the United States, just like China did this week and Russia has done before. Now, because Obama wants to get rid of all of our nuclear weapons, Russia actually has at least 800 more nuclear weapons than the United States now, thanks to Obama destroying them. Now, I'm actually a counselor for strategic affairs for the 8th Air Force, so I have been trained in Russian nuclear weapons. I have been underground in Minuteman missile silos. I have been to the war room, and I have seen firsthand all of these things. So now Russia is actually superior to the United States in nuclear weapons In fact, by 2016, Russia's bombers will be far more advanced than U.S. Nuclear bombers. But what's interesting is in Moscow by 2012, which was the end of last year, Russians built 5,000 additional bomb shelters in the city of Moscow alone. So in most of the major cities of Russia, there are bomb shelters underground. And most of these are actual huge cities built underground. It is amazing. So almost half the population of Russia, if a warning, nuclear missiles were sent from the United States to Russia, immediately there would be a sounding of the alarm. Almost half of the population of Russia would be in fallout shelters underground. So even if the missiles strike, at least half the population would continue to live. But in the United States, there are no fallout shelters for citizens. There is Mount Weather in the mountains of Virginia. That's an underground location for the administration and the Congress and Senate to go to in case there is a nuclear war. And there's the 123 deep underground military bases for the military to go to, but there's not even one official fallout shelter for a single American. So we sent all of our missiles over there, and they sent all of their missiles over here. Half of their population would survive. None of our population would survive because we have no fallout shelter.
How's the Earth hold up behind all that? I mean, because I've seen some stuff in there was some science on doomsday science in a nuclear holocaust, and if that was to take place, that because of the megaton size of these warheads, upon impact, yeah, I mean, they've done great things with nuclear technology where you can leave a building standing and wipe out the population, but you still have the impact. And then there's science that says that with enough of these impacts in any 48-hour period or 72-hour period, that you do things to the Earth that actually, you know, cause these deep, the supervolcanic, there are five supervolcanoes around the planet, and any of this kind of nuclear attacks would open up cracks that would allow these super volcanoes to become active, and if one of those becomes active, then it takes out the Earth's population anyway, doesn't it?
Yes. In fact, it's very apropos, John, that you mention that, because scientists actually reported today that Yellowstone, which is a super volcano, there's the U.S. actually has seven super volcanoes in the West. It's in Yellowstone is one, and then they have some in Oregon, Washington, California. So there's seven. The one in Yellowstone, scientists just said today that it is starting to move. Now, geologists have known for years that if the supervolcano underneath Yellowstone National Park, if it erupts, the explosion will be so great it will affect light in two-thirds of the United States.
Uh-huh.
So for all practical purposes, two-thirds of the United States will have what's called a nuclear winter.
Uh-huh.
So you're correct.
And that'll be something.
Announced today
Let's remember Mount St. Helens, folks. When Mount St. Helens erupted, remember the summer that followed that eruption. It was very dark. It was very cool. And this is exactly what our scientist, John Casey, has been saying, because as the Earth cools because of the sun going into hibernation, the plates underneath the Earth contract, because as things get cooler, they contract. And it doesn't have to contract a lot. It just has to contract a teeny tiny just to loosen a plate, which could then make the magma flow different and cause an earthquake. And these are real things that could happen that, of course, we are not being told, because our administration is locked on to the fact that it, the only way that they can tax the American people into oblivion is by taxing carbon. And
what a joke.
Made up garbage.
Yes, that's you're right. It's carbon taxing is all fabricated in someone's wild imagination, because taxing all of these cities and companies and industries with a carbon tax, it actually does not really change the Earth. The number one polluter of CO2 in the atmosphere is volcanoes. Now, I would love to see Obama and his Department of Environmental Issues, I would love to see him try to tax a volcano and even try to cover it with something to keep it from polluting the air. So if on one side of the Earth, you close all industry, so everybody's just eating grass, and the other side of the planet, volcanoes are going off every day. Because the Earth rotates on its axis, the pollution on one side of the Earth is going to roll around, and the other side of the Earth will be affected. I mean, this is just science 101.
Right.
The second greatest cause of CO2 is cows belching. And I would just love to see them
the calculation.
Try to put a mask over these cows and catch all of this gas from their belching. This is really absurd.
Well, the problem that they do with that, though, is they go after the farmers and they start fining the farmers, which, of course, adds to the cost of beef, which makes it difficult for people then to have beef as part of their diet or any animal, because they allude to the fact of this devastation called CO2. What they really should be looking at is a climate model that shows clearly that CO2 is not a cause of climate change. It is a result of climate change.
Yes, that's right.
So the climate changes constantly. CO2 is going to be there no matter what. And the only thing by stopping it, or by making things, quote, sustainable, is the fact that what they're doing is they're saying, you know, all those luxuries that you like, that you enjoy, that you want to have, well, they can't have them in Guatemala, so therefore you're not going to have them either. So we're going to tell you that air conditioning is not sustainable because in the Middle East they don't have electricity like we do, and they don't have central air, and it wouldn't be fair. So then these items become, quote, not sustainable when it's absolutely meaningless. It's meaningless.
Well, and it's lost a private property, huh? And let me tell you something. When I have an air conditioner and I decide to set it at a temperature that's pleasing to John, that's a right of my private property. It's a sovereign. It's something I purchased. It's my labor that bought and I own it. It's just like a cow. You know, I go out and I purchase a cow, private property now. It belongs to John. I put a brand on it. It's mine. Everybody knows that's John's cow. But if I want to hinder John's ability to prosper and to have success and to have what John chooses with John's labor and John's money and earnings, then if I want to totally do away with John's right to private property, I find a way to tax the cow to where it's no longer affordable for John to own the cow. And thus I also impact the food supply of the American public. So it's a really great scam, but ask one of these guys if they have a carbon credit that you can look at if you'd like to see what that is.
That's exactly right. You know, I think of the hypocrisy of government officials. When Obama became president, he wanted to keep the White House temperature at 68, which is a little cool. And when a journalist said something about it, he said, I'm used to living in Hawaii where we have air conditioners on all the time. And then that was the end of it. He is very willing to raise the taxes on everyone else and get rid of coal-fired power plants, which is 40%
yes.
of them. He can his rules don't apply. Just like Obamacare, even the Obama administration, nor the Senate, nor the Congress, nor anyone in the federal government, including Catherine Sebelius,
who's
in charge of carrying it out, none of them are going to be under Obamacare. So it's easy for them to make rules and regulations for the people that have to live under this.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the things where the Republicans really lost the battle is that they, you know, when you have government officials, Congress itself, all of the staff members and certain select staff members, that will be, they won't fall under the mandate. So then you have certain union officials that won't fall under the mandate. You have government by itself and in a large part, you know, military, won't fall under the mandate. But then you're going to have corporations, and they go and they beg their way out. There's no way we can do this. So you waive the mandate for corporations. And then what do? You carry out the only mandate, and that's on the private citizen. So there's is this equality. And you know, no, it's not. It's a scam. And it's the Obamacare tax. That's the one thing, Preston, and we talked earlier in the show, and I told Karen, I really want the American people, and every time you hear someone in media, if they refer to it as Obamacare, make sure that they add the word tax, because it is the Obamacare tax, the affordable health care tax, because that's what it is by Constitution. I mean, according to Mr. Roberts, that's why they're allowed to exercise this on us, because it's a tax. And they're not going to speak that in the media. They're not going to speak it in our Congress and our Senate. And that's why Mr. Obama is desperate to leave this private citizen tax in place so that they can start the collection of funds and fees to make it easy for the corporations and government officials who won't be affected by this tax. They have waived the tax on themselves. How sweet is that?
Yes, I agree, John. I think that any law that the Senate or the Congress passes, or any regulation that the president or his administration passes, any law or regulation, I think that everyone in the Senate and Congress and in the administration and all federal employees are required by law to follow those same rules, regulations, and laws.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise, it's a communist system, and they are the Communist Party of America.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And, you know, there's things about that, too, that we we have to recognize, and I keep throwing the word equality, and I'm doing that because there's going to be a point in the time, and I'm writing an article, and I'm about halfway through with it, but I'm speaking to the First Amendment, and also then I want to get to the, you know, the servitude. You know, we abolished slavery in this nation, and along with servitude. Well, if I tax one portion of this American society, the American taxpayer, through Obamacare or any tax, and if we call it a tax, then we identify it as a tax. Well, if I tax a sector that's a working class, and I take money from them, and I do not hold other people, corporations, or government officials to the same standard that I hold the taxpayer, and I take that taxpayer's labor, and I hand it out, and I give it to, and the beneficiaries become government officials and corporations, then I am holding the American people in servitude, which is against the Constitution, and will give us a legal standing in the Supreme Court. I'm adamant that that's our way out, is to take this to the Supreme Court and to get out from underneath direct taxes 100%.
Yes, I agree. It is a type of servitude because whatever the U.S. government taxes, it will control, just as we've seen in the first 30 minutes of your show.
Uh-huh.
Everything, there is no free grant.
No.
Any grants the United States government gives anyone, they expect to be able to control that.
Yes, and they will.
We have placed them in a position of the Communist Party. So nothing is free.
Uh-huh.
The Obama phones to all these millions of people on welfare, that's not free. Somebody that's working, that pays taxes, is paying for that misuse of taxpayer money.
Yeah. Well, and it's servitude. I'm taking that tax dollar, and I'm paying for a phone to an individual who's unwilling to work, and I'm taking the labor, not just my tax dollars. My tax dollars come from my labor. I am putting and holding an American worker and his labor hostage through taxation to hand to people that are unwilling to live under the same equality, the same standards, people that are totally unwilling to work. And I'm taking that money then. I am holding the worker in servitude. Trust me, this is slavery. We're just not being given iron chains.
Yes, you're exactly correct. And more of our freedoms in the United States are being taken away against our will. It is just like Obamacare controls 1/6 of the economy.
Yeah.
Now, why in the name of common sense have Americans given away their freedom to choose what doctors they go to and what type of medical care they want to a bunch of bungling bureaucrats that can't even balance the budget?
Yeah.
I mean,
one of the things, Preston, that leads to that too, and I would defy anyone, any listener, anyone that you can contact and be in conversation with, give me the name of one functioning part that government has ever taken control over, post office, railways, military. You tell me one single part that they have effectively managed and controlled without screwing it up. Give me one example, and then I'll say, well, sure, there's a prime example. Let them have health care, too. But the bottom line is they've screwed up everything they've ever touched.
You're exactly correct. I even read that in Nevada, there was a house of prostitution that failed to pay their taxes, and the government took over legal prostitution, and they failed in that endeavor too. So that's pretty bad.
Preston, what do you think is happening with the borders being open the way they are?
there is no way to track these people that are coming into the country. And I can't believe that they're good guys that are coming in.
What is interesting is I talked to one of the head CIA agents to the Middle East, and here's what he told me. He said about 500,000 illegals come from Mexico into the United States every year. He said what you don't hear a lot about is that 9% of the illegals that come from Mexico into the United States are actually Muslims from the Middle East. Now, let me say this again, because we don't hear this on the news. And
no.
He told me where to look it up on the Border Patrol website, and he was exactly correct. It's just a little bit over 9%. And it even listed all of the countries that these Muslims from the Middle East do. So 9% of illegals that enter through our southern border, they fly from the Middle East to Mexico City. And then from there, by whatever illegal means possible, they come into the United States. Now, if there's 500,000 a year that illegally cross the border, and you multiply that by 9%, that's 45,000 Muslims that enter our country through the southern border every year.
Yeah, and one of the things too, Preston, and I forget where I picked it up at, and it was came out of maybe Al Jazeera, the fact that some of these Muslims were landing and being shipped in through Nicaragua because Hugo Chavez was willing to give them further training, military training, prior to shipping them, and then Chavez took care of making sure that they got into Mexico City and got in line with the drug cartels that would bring them into the U.S.
Yes, I believe that is correct.
From what you're saying about the vast ability to build these cities underground, I would have to imagine that there are major tunnels going under the border. So even putting up a border fence without addressing the tunnels, that is something that you never really hear about at all.
Karen, they've uncovered many of them down there in Mexico. The DEA, the last one that I saw televised, and I was in Texas, but they had a vast tunnel. They were driving cars through. I'm not talking about a tunnel for somebody to crawl through like getting out of a prison or a war camp. I'm talking about this was a well-organized, concreted, barriered deal so that they could drive vehicles from Mexico into Arizona.
Yes, I think just last week they uncovered another tunnel, a very large tunnel, it was on November the 1st, they discovered a very large tunnel from Mexico into the United States,
yeah.
And it has actual tracks in the...
Well, there's a lot going on, I mean, and there's no doubt that there's something afoot. You know, whether they're going to use Muslim extremists, I do think that there's huge possibilities for whatever takes place, any action to set into play World War III. When you look at the economic decay and collapse of the U.S. dollar and the fact that the global economy is based on the dollar, and the Chinese and the Russians now for the last 3 years have been making a huge push to go off the dollar basis, and the Chinese have been divesting their dollars and purchasing every kind of natural resource that they can buy with dollars so that they can get rid of and shuck their dollars. They have definite intentions on collapsing the American economy.
Yes. So this same CIA agent told me that he thinks there's at least 5 to 7 nuclear bombs that the Muslims coming in from Mexico have already brought into this country,
yeah,
and that it will be directed to 5 or 7 major cities.
Mm-hmm.
But they're waiting for a signal so that they can all set them off at the same time to create,
yeah,
the greatest chaos. But what you said is exactly correct. 3 weeks ago, China and a few other countries in one day dumped 48 billion, that's with a B, $48 billion worth of U.S. Treasury bonds on the market, which is the most U.S. Treasury bonds sold by foreign investors in one day in the history of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
There is now 12 major countries who no longer use the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency. So
nope.
There's now 12 countries that do not use it, like Russia, China, Brazil, and others.
So how do we reach the people who want to, I mean, how do we, what do we do? You're not painting a pretty picture. I understand that. It's not you. You're reporting the truth, and we all know that the truth can't be spun the way we want it to be. It is the truth. But people like ourselves, you know, we are of the mindset, we know this is going to happen. It's a matter of when we realize that. But what can we do? What should we do going forward? What should we look at? Are there signs we can look for? What can we do to protect ourselves?
I think that there's a lot we can do personally and we can do publicly. Publicly, let me deal with it first. We can continue to do what you have done. Get on the radio and tell people the facts, and contact our elected officials at the localist level possible, and at the highest level possible. My mother is 83. She was never involved in politics in her life. My father died years ago at 62, and she is so upset with all of that is going on in this country. She calls and writes the White House and her state congressman and senator on an almost weekly basis. And the government works by one principle. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. So we need to be as squeaky as possible to the wheels of government. We need to get all of our friends to write or call their elected officials on many of the events that you promote on this radio show. And personally, what we can do is when we talk to one another, we can ask them questions that get them to think. Most people, without challenging it, believe the lies that they have been told for years.
Yeah.
So the way we can get their attention is ask a question that they don't really know the answer to, and then show them the actual news clipping that has the answer. Because
yeah.
like you said, truth really stinks.
Yeah.
We live in, and the scary part is, in a recent study, a recent survey in the United States, probably a third of the U.S. population actually has communist belief system.
Yeah, they sure do. They've been given to them. It's taking place through the indoctrination in our schools.
Yes, and I think that we need, it's called challenging private logic. We need to challenge what we hear on TV, at school,
mm-hmm.
and the best thing we can do for our children and grandchildren is to teach them to be critical thinkers and to think for themselves, because much of the news we hear on TV is not actual news. It's propaganda.
No, big time. Big time. And I think everything that you see on television has become, and I'm not a big fan of Fox any longer, because I know that they have the opportunity to share the truth that they chose to and report the news, and they choose not to, and or they've been told and they're under the control. You know, whether it's Rupert Murdoch or whoever it is, these media outlets are totally just spewing propaganda. They're not speaking what the truth is. They're afraid to call the president a liar, even though they've known they've caught him in a lie.
Yes.
And, you know, we've been dancing around this now for the last week with, well, do you think that he lied? Well, no, I don't think he lied. I know he lied.
Yes, he actually lied at least 29 times. Somebody
That's
counted
it.
Him.
Yeah.
29 yeah. times he lied. So, so I think we need to, when you focus on the truth, you can see what the lie is.
Absolutely.
Now, I think if we ask people a lot of questions that they don't know to the answers, that maybe they'll search for themselves. Like,
uh-huh.
Let me just give you a few examples. Like, why is it that Obama has said that he will be the most transparent government in history when he has been the least transparent government? Why is it that he demanded that John McCain show his birth certificate and he never really showed his real birth certificate?
Mm-hmm.
It's been shown time and time again, the one he showed has at least 12 major errors in it.
Uh-huh.
That are very obvious. For example,
yeah, and good legal commission. I mean,
yeah.
Sheriff Joe Arpaio, when he did that citizens commission, citizens grand jury, and you know, for that not to go anywhere and just be washed aside, it tells you right up front. I mean, this is a dark cabal, and that's my fear, Preston. Is there a time when you're dealing with such a global? The Illuminati is a global operation. This dark cabal,
right.
secret cabal to take down the United States of America, and a lot of people around the world will be murdered in this thing. So if they're willing to do this, can we, and is there time for us to impact and to turn around, and how do you go about this? These people are so powerfully evil, and they control the courts. They control every system of government. Is there any hope to turn it around?
I've thought about that question every day for several years now. I was talking to a friend of mine while I was in Denver, Colorado, and he was a pastor in Pakistan, and 10,000 Muslims came and burned down. They treat Christians as second-class citizens in Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
So all the Christians have to live in one area. And the Muslims burned down 140,000 Christian homes, raped the women, killed many of the men, and destroyed and stole all of their possessions. And I said that prayer makes a difference. So he... we discussed it, and he wrote a two-page prayer to pray for our country that he and I pray every day. So I think prayer makes a big difference.
I do, too. And I think that is the answer, Preston, because That's the one thing that, it, regardless of how this happens or what does take place, the one thing that every God-fearing Christian American and a any Christian around the world, I can stand firmly in my faith, regardless of what is done to me or what takes place, what evil may impact me. When it is my time, I will be able to make the sign of the cross and be in touch with my God, with my Jesus Christ and the Savior. That will avenge whatever happens to any of us. And that's the one thing that we have to hold on to. That is the conqueror of evil is good. Good will defeat and conquer evil.
Now, I know a number of Christians are praying Psalm 109:8. That's Psalm 109:8. It says, "Let his day be few, and let another take his office."
There you go.
Psalm 109:8.
That's pretty good.
let his days be few, and let another take his office.
Mm-hmm.
I think we also need to pray for a leader who God will call, who can lead this country back to its foundation principles and the U.S. Constitution. And I've discussed this with a lot of people. And I think the people that are the backbone of our country is the average person in America that is committed to Christian principles, sees things very simply. They can give practical, simple answers to things that are not just theoretical, ideological orations of a person who really does not care. So we need to pray that God would raise up leaders in every community, in every state, and in this country, and that the leaders that we have, that either they will repent of their unrighteousness or pray that God would remove them and put a better person in their place.
Absolutely. That's great power. And I think that that's what, I mean, there's an enlightenment, Preston, that I think this entire patriot movement, Tea Party movement, but one of the things that when you speak to people that are deeply involved in it and continue to learn and continue to educate others, and they're about it in their daily life, their commitment is it's inspiring. And one of the things that you take from that is the enlightenment. All of us share the enlightenment, the time frame of when it occurs. You can go back and see, I say that if it's an enlightenment that is God-given, you know, God has allowed and shared in our hearts that we are confronted with evil, and we feel that evil. We feel this is not America. This is not right. This is not who our nation is supposed to be. This is not what is supposed to be happening to our children, to our society. We feel all of that, and that's an enlightenment then that has driven us to go and seek the answers, to seek the truth. And isn't it amazing that that's the one thing that the people that are the strongest in this patriot movement can just totally dispel all of the ideology shifts and all of the things that these people bring to the table? They cannot confront the truth. They cannot stand. Evil cannot deal with the truth, folks. That's why it's so important to stay factual, to stay truth-based, and stay firmly in the belief that there is a creator, a God that makes us all equal, and the government is not our ruler, it's not our master, and it's our job, it's our task now. We've let this thing get out of hand. We've let this beast take over. So now it is our job, it is our mission, it's our duty, our civic duty, to stand and confront it.
Yeah, I agree. I like to speak to young people, and when they say they believe in supporting a large government, I say, so you don't think you're smart enough to make decisions for yourself. You think a bureaucrat who doesn't know you at all and know how you live in Washington, D.C., he knows better what you should do in life than you do. And, of course, you know, they look very foolish. But then I say, everything that you get free from the government is not productive of its own. It's the people who produce 70% of the gross domestic product comes from buying and selling of consumers. So what I do is I print out from usdebtclock.org. It is the amount that the federal government owes that taxpayers will have to pay. So if you just print it off and give it to people, it's self-explanatory. It's at usdebtclock.org, and it says that we owe over $17 trillion, and the debt per taxpayer is $149,435. So I tell the young person, when are you going to pay your fair share?
Yeah. Well, then give them the next big shock and have them go all the way down to the bottom of the page and look at the unfunded liability.
Yeah, that's
right. That's a scary number.
One of my my son's friends that works at the post office came over a few weeks ago, and I said, "How are things going at the post office?" He said, "Well, they've laid off some." So I showed him I printed off the U.S. debt clock, and it says, like you said, at the bottom of the page. Considering unfunded liabilities, the liability per taxpayer is $1,102,748. So I said, when are you going to pay that?
Yeah.
He said, I cannot pay that in a lifetime.
Nope.
He said, so why are you allowing your government to raise the debt that you could not pay in a lifetime? They're going to tax everything you've got. They're going to make up more than carbon tax. They're going to tax everything. In Germany, they tax windows and closets. This is true. I've been to Germany. So they're going to tax everything if we don't stop them from growing this.
Do they understand? Do you really think they understand?
I haven't met anybody yet, Karen. Whenever I show them those numbers, and I'm big on doing that, and I'm talking about people that are my age, and work men that have worked all their lives, and you know, and when you show them that debt clock, and you show them the debt, and their accountability for taxpayer, and then you explain, and you have to explain the unfunded liabilities. And the fact that this debt will never be paid by any of us that exist right now in the United States, this is a debt we're passing on to babies yet born.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
And what did our founding fathers, and that's one of the things that was a key that they wanted each generation to always, and that's why they were conservatives in their nature. That's why they wanted to be fiscally responsible, was that each generation should take care of its own debt and never pass debt on to the next generation. And we're passing it on to generations yet to come, and we've got to be ashamed of ourselves for that.
Now, here's something I've been telling people for several months, and most people are not aware of this, but according to the Dodd-Frank Amendment, the law that goes into effect January the 1st, 2014, it's already gone to federal court, so it's already been decided. And here's what it says. It says, if the bank you place your money in, if it fails, then the people who deposit their money in the bank are the third lien holder of the bank. They're not the first or the second. So therefore, starting January the 1st, if you have money in a bank that fails, any company or organization that that the bank owes them money. For example, people that have bought derivatives related to investments in that bank, they are the first lien holder. So any money that is left after the bank failure, they get the money first. And if there's any money left, then the second lien holder gets the money, and there won't be any money after that. But if, for the sake of argument, there was, then the people that have actually deposited the money in there. So actually, starting January the 1st, if you put money in any bank, it is a lending deposit. So that means you really don't own it once you turn it over to the bank. You do not own that money. In fact, in Argentina, about 2 years ago, the president of Argentina confiscated all of the retirement pensions of the citizens of Argentina. And they also, after that, they did the same thing in Poland, so it's starting to spread. So just remember, once you allow the government to control something, then they can take it just as easy.
Well, yeah, and here's the thing, Preston, and I've tried to explain this to a lot of guys that are, you know, because I'm 60 years old, and the people that are my age, you know, or retiring or looking at retirement, and they talk about their money that's in their 401k plans. And the simple fact is money, fiat currency, is nothing but debt. It's an obligation. It's a note. So it's debt. The Congress of the United States, the Senate and the House of Representatives, could, with the stroke of an ink pen, put together a piece of legislation to seize every single dollar that's in a 401k account, because they granted us that right to deposit and have 401k accounts. So they can just as easily seize those funds. And don't think they haven't thought about it.
Yes, that's right.
Well, I can see them doing that. This is, the handwriting is on the wall with the Dodd-Frank bill, the other bill that they passed without people reading it, without giving the opportunity.
Yeah.
They put the small banks virtually out of business with red tape and restrictions. So now we are left with the big banks on this quest to confiscate our money, and I can see that coming. I really can. So what, Preston, do people do with their money?
Well,
That's the big question.
Yes, that's exactly the right question. I think you have to have some money in the bank to pay some of your bills, but I would say by January the 1st that, you know, you need to have some money in the bank to pay your bills, but you can't put it where it can be stolen. I was a chairman of the Juvenile Anti-Crime Task Force, and so I know about crime, and I've talked to many burglars. And let me tell you what the burglars say. The burglars have 10 minutes to get any of your stuff and get out. So you have to make it difficult, so it would take more than 10 minutes to get any of your possessions. They're not going to unscrew a vent or move furniture or anything like that. But don't put anything of value in your chest of drawers, in your bedroom, in your closet, or under your bed. But if you have any valuables, you need to hide it where they cannot get within 10 minutes. So you have to make it difficult. Actually, the only real currency in the world is gold and silver. if people buy gold or silver, I suggest a 1 ounce American Eagles. There's 1 ounce American Gold Eagles or Silver Eagles. Silver Eagles is now in the low 20s, like $22 now. That's what most people should get. Silver will go up a greater percentage than gold. Gold is around 1356. So what financial experts say is you buy gold to retain your wealth. You buy silver to take care of small needs on a weekly basis. So I think that on November the 13th and 14th, Homeland Security is going to have an electric grid failure drill. Last time they had a drill for bombs and terrorism was in Boston when bombs actually went off. So I tell people to make sure you have things that run on batteries by the 13th, and you need to have this anyway. You need to have plenty of batteries and flashlights. You need to have enough food to keep. And people come to me after I speak and say, well, I don't have much money. I said, you can go to Sam's and for $22 buy a 50-pound bag of rice. For about the same amount, you can buy 50 pounds of black beans.
Yeah.
And in Mexico, in many countries, they've lived for years on black beans and rice.
Yep.
So spoiled rotten Americans can do that if necessary. Yep. I suggest that you get canned food, and you can store rice and beans so it's not damaged in 5-gallon containers that have a self-sealing top.
Mylar bags.
Yes, put them in Mylar bags, and what you do is you put a little oxygen. You drop it inside the bag after you put your beans or rice in there, and it takes the oxygen out of your bag. Then you get an iron and iron the end of the bag, which seals it. Then you put it in the 5-gallon container and close the top, and it'll seal for 20 years.
That's good.
Can do that with anything. I think people need several different kinds. So you need to have canned food and others. If you expect something long-term, you can get dehydrated or freeze-dried.
Yeah. Hey, Preston, and also we need to go ahead. We have run over,
right.
And so we need to go ahead and maybe
we're
Preston get back within in a short period of time and let's just do maybe a show on preparation for folks.
That would be great.
That would be wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, Preston. You are a wealth of information, as always. We appreciate everything that you're doing and everything that you're sharing. Folks, you're listening to American Freedom Watch Radio. We are brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman, and on Red State Talk Radio. Please visit our website's Agenda 21 today. Get engaged. Get your legislators to stop funding lies. Global man-made global warming is a lie. It is driving our country into oblivion. There will not be a country left. But on that note, let us say God bless you for everything that you're doing. Thank you, John, for being with us tonight. Thank you, Neil. Thank you, Sally. God bless everyone, and God bless America.
Amen.
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 Darren.
Thanks.
Hey, Karen.
Okay,
take care, Karen. Good night.
God bless you.
Hey, are you still there, Karen?
Yes.
Listen, I'm not going to be able to download the show.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, because I'm in the hospital, and I don't have a Wi-Fi here or nothing like that.
Where did you download it to?
Well, I mean, you have to go through.